There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you once again for tuning into our Friday edition of the podcast. We're thankful for each of you that listen. Those of you that tune in on your commute, those of you that listen through homeschool, through chapel, those of you just listening in your homes, whatever the case may be, we would appreciate it if you would tell others. We had some folks this week came to us and said, how do you find the podcast? How do we tune in? And there's a lot of folks don't know how to use a device to find the podcast. It's very simple. Would you help some folks find it? Would you not only recommend it to folks, but then would you let them know about it and how to look it up and how to add it to their device and maybe even schedule it in their device for automatic downloads? And it's not because we need listeners. Listen, we've been offered opportunity to monetize the podcast, and we've refused that. Buy the truth and sell it not is what the Word of God told us to do. We're not boasting in that. It's just the reality. And yet we have multiple listeners each and every day. We're adding new folks continually. And so just get word out there. Let folks know about this daily doctrine devotional, something to help you daily, something to strengthen you to start your day, something to help you on your drive to work, from work, at work, help something there at the house, those of you at home. It's something to strengthen you and to help you. So let folks know about that. Get word out there. And let's try to be a blessing to others. That's what the podcast is about. It's instruction in righteousness. And that's the preaching of the Word of God, to instruct us in the things of God. We're back in Job chapter 3. And again, we're back in the darkness and the night and the awfulness of Job chapter 3. We see that Job has cursed his day. And then after Job cursed his day, he begins to speak. And we talked yesterday primarily about that shadow of death. And we talked about that extensively. Talk about the cloud, the blackness of the day. And then in verse 6, he says, as for that night, that's the night he's speaking of, that night of that birth, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. And so again, he's asking that day not even be remembered, that God would take that day and put it away from him. And again, Job is speaking here. Job, that great prophet of God, sometimes hard to understand when Job is prophesying, when he's speaking of himself, that great calamity that was upon Job. I know a man that people often said of him that he goes through the trials of Job. He has experienced great trials in his life, but I don't believe there was another man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that suffered. The Apostle Paul suffered greatly, but I don't know if he suffered more than what Job suffered. Job suffered greatly, and we see the words of Job in his suffering. We see the calamity of Job. Yet at the end of this thing, Job comes out shining. Job comes out with great faith. Job comes out with great patience. That's what he was known for, was his patience. And so Job prophesying, speaking, he says, as for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year, nor let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, that let that night be solitary. Let it stand by itself. What night is that? That night he's speaking of, that night of darkness, that night in the shadow of death. He let no joyful voice come therein. And I said yesterday on the podcast, I'm going to say it again. And I just say this not to cause dissension, not to cause problems, but I see that as a day that could not be Job. I see this as a day. I believe it's most likely at Calvary. And anybody has some thoughts on that, feel free to contact me. Feel free to let us know what you think about that. But he's speaking here of a day. Why would he ask God to take away his number, his months, and let that night be solitary? Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day who are ready to raise up their mourning. And then he says in verse 9, let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. And I don't believe a man could curse his day that greatly. I don't believe a man that had faith, that believed God like Job, could curse his day as great as what Job has cursed it. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. He knows who hung the stars. He knows who made the heavens and the earth. Job knows these things. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. And part of the reason I say that is because you look at that dawning of the day. You look in Psalm 119 and verse 147. And again, a tremendous passage concerning these things. But in Psalm 119, 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. My reference for that is Psalm 63 and verse 6. In Psalm 63, 6, he said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in thy night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Now, Psalm 63, verses really down 2 through the most of the chapter, is messianic. It's Jesus Christ. So in Psalm 119, 147, and when he said, I cry with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. When did he cry? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And then verse 147, I prevented the dawn of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. So again, I see faith there. I see faith other than Job's faith. And you look back at that again. And he said, let the stars of the twilight therefore be dark. Let thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. And Peter spoke of that, by the way. Peter spoke of that in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. He said, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. That's what he's referencing. Until the day dawn and the day star arrive in your hearts. And then he admonishes us with this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture of is any private interpretation. And I believe the words there are very clear. I believe the words are very pointed. Peter's referencing things that you and I have trouble understanding, but he had already been expounded. The scriptures have been expounded to him by Jesus Christ. And then he said, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's why he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. These things were kind of vague. These things were hard to understand. They were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Verse 9 of Job 3, neither let it see the dawning of the day. He's talking about that day star. He's talking about the resurrected Savior there. And I believe that's very clear. I believe that's exactly what he's prophesying there. Because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. So he says, neither let it see. What is that? He's talking about this life. Let not see the dawn of the day. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Things hard to understand, things hard to comprehend, things hard to really struggle with in the scriptures and rest the scriptures, not to our destruction, but to understanding with the Holy Ghost, that God would instruct us and teach us these things. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost, in this key word there, when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Well, why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet? I should have slept. Then had I been at rest, and that's the rest he's speaking about. That rest is eternal rest. That rest is rest forever. We know that rest is all through Scripture. With kings and counselors of the earth, which build desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold, who filled their houses with silver, or as in hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw light, there's a key word there too, or as in hidden untimely birth, I had not been. No, his birth was not untimely. He was born right on time. And if it's messianic, and again, I'm wrestling with that. If it is Jesus Christ we're looking at here, which I don't doubt that it is, I just don't fully understand. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that we which are under the law might receive the adoption of sons. Again, I'm not trying to go too far. Not trying to go out of sorts with this, just trying to expound the scriptures as I see them in hopes that you can grasp this, in hopes that you can take this and let God reveal things to you. And he said, there, where is there? The wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. That's what Job is speaking of here, that day of rest, that day where there's no more wickedness, no more troubling. The weary shall be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. Why? They're awaiting the redemption. The small and great are there. Where else do we see the small and great? We see them stand before God. Why? Because they've been resurrected. They've been brought before God. The sea has given up its dead. The small and great are there. And the servant is free from his master. Why? Because it's a day appointed. It's a day of an appointment. It's a day when the servant is free. It's a day when the prisons are open. It's a day when men small and great are going to stand before the Most High God, the Holy One of Israel, and they'll stand and be judged by him. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life under the bitter in soul. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Light has come, and light has shone, and that light has risen in our hearts, and the light is given to him that is in misery and life under the bitter in soul. And Job's changed gears here a little bit, but I see that life has come. Resurrection has come. The bitter in soul, all the bitterness of those in soul, the bitterness of those in bondage, the bitterness of the prisoner, the bitterness of those wrapped in sin and steeped in sin, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasures, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Suffering, all the fellowship of his suffering, to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. And yet there are men that suffer. They look for the grave. They long for the grave. I have friends that suffer greatly, and they just ask the different times in their suffering. They've asked that people would pray that God would take them. I know with my own stepfather, there came a time, and we gathered around the bed, and I told my family, I said, it's time to pray. And we prayed, and I asked God if he'd be merciful and take him. Within 3 hours, he was gone. God was merciful. God heard and answered prayer. And God had taken his life. That's where a lot of men are in their suffering. They suffer so greatly. They're looking for a place of rest. Death would be a relief to some people. Death would be a relief to a lot of people. The suffering is so great upon them. They're bitter in their soul. They're miserable in this life. And they dig for it and they find it, which rejoice exceedingly are glad when they can find the grave. And he said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid? In whom God hath hedged in. Now Job certainly has come out of this. And as I said, he changed gears a little bit back in verse 18. And now he's speaking of himself, no doubt, which rejoice exceedingly are glad when they find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? Job's walking in the light. Job has the light of God. And yet he knows that God has hedged him in. He knows that he's been protected, and now that hedge has been removed, and Satan's come and destroy him and to rend him and to tear at him and to cause him to be faithless and to cause him to be unrighteous and to try to cause him to be a vile man. And yet still in all this, he maintained his integrity, would not curse God in all of this. He cursed his day, but he never cursed God. For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. Why art thou so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Psalm 22 and verse 1. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. What is that great thing we fear? Well, losing all we have, losing our health, death, destruction, all the awfulness. And yet we live in that fear, and I believe all of us live in that fear. And you know, I know people say, well, I have great faith. I believe God. I don't have fear. But yet there is that fear of the unknown. That's that sting of death, the fear of death. And there is that little bit of, you know, I believe in every man, there's that fear of the Lord that he's going to stand before God and know that all these things you've done are going to stand in judgment. And the things that have fallen short of judgment, the wood, the hay, the stubble are going to be burned. And the only thing left, those things you did for God, those things that were gold and silver, and those precious stones before God. And that little bit of fear, and I believe it's encapsulated in every man's heart, because he's going to stand before God one day, and he's going to be judged for those things done in this flesh. And he said, this thing has greatly come upon me. Why? He's lost everything. The calamity of his life, the destruction of his life, where his wife's even tell him to curse God and die. And then he said this in verse 26, I was not in safety. What was the fear that God would remove that hedge? That all of these things he had and all this gain and all these possessions and all this wealth, it was something he obtained. And now he realizes it's gone. And what his question, I believe, here is, was God behind all that? Was God in? And we'll see that later in these chapters as Job questions God, begins to ask God. But he said all of a sudden he found out he was not in safety like he thought he was. Neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Before you judge Job unrighteously, before you condemn Job in unrighteousness, please do take note that every one of us one day is going to stand before God. And we're going to stand before God either with faith or without faith. We're going to stand before God either believing that he is and knowing that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, or we're going to be standing before him faithless and standing before him empty and void. Can I say to you, it's better that Job was emptied out in this world, and better that he was emptied out before he stood before God, and God could take away everything that he had, and Job stood there naked and desolate, scraping himself in the ash heap. And then God revealed himself to Job, and Job was restored, and God used Job greatly. And that great man of faith, that great man of patience, the goodness of God abounded to Job. How much better it be that Job go through that than these that think their life's fine and think their life is good, and they find out they're lost without hope and lost without Christ. And that's why he said, better they pluck their eye out than enter hellfire with two eyes. Better they cut off that hand than enter into hellfire with two hands. How much better is it that we'd lose everything? We'd lose our health, lose our strength, and in the bottom of all of that, go down the ash heap and find out whether or not we know Jesus Christ. And if you're there and you find out that Jesus Christ is lacking in your life, how much better it is to be desolate and be broke and be impoverished and to be sick and to be wounded and to find Jesus Christ than to go on living your life in riches and in wealth and prosperity and having never known the Son of God. Oh, that God would take these that are lost amongst us, that God would take them down and strip them down to absolutely nothing in the hope that they would look up and see Jesus Christ. That's our prayer this weekend. As we go about preaching, some of you will go about preaching, be in the house of God, that God would just strip us down to a place where we can see Jesus Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Would you look to him this weekend? Have a great weekend in the house of God.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelist.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed.